Hello, Sagittarius, and welcome to In These Times, the Planet Waves Autumn Reading. My name's Eric Francis. I'll be here with you for a while talking about life and astrology and ideas and all those beautiful things. This is the 11th of the 12 signs. It's always fun getting to the next to the last one. And it's like I finally have found my stride. Hopefully I'll keep it for the next 50-ish minutes. And I'm starting at 5:27 p.m. on the 7th day of September 2019, recording in Kingston in the Plant Waves office. And I'm starting in Sagittarian style every one of these readings. I might have forgotten Aquarius, in which case I'll make a note, but with a quotation from a Tibetan Lama called Kartha Rinpoche, and the book is called Bardo, Interval of Possibility. It to me, it kind of reads like the lost chapter in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Here's what he says. And I'm only sharing this because I was feeling a little run down a couple of months ago. Like, eh. And so I started visiting the DK Monastery up on the mountain in Woodstock, like conveniently located approximately 7 minutes from Yum Yum Noodles. You just drive up the mountain and suddenly you're at this Tibetan monastery. And I found this book, and I started reading it, and I found this paragraph that really helped me, so I'm going to share it with you. And Karthar says, as bad as times are, the Dharma is not affected or diminished in any way. We do indeed live in times of decadence, but the Dharma is not decadent. The Dharma is the same as it always has been. The land of Tibet has suffered greatly throughout the preceding century, yet all that happened there, all that has brought great suffering to the people and has greatly diminished practice resources, has not affected the power or the authenticity of Dharma in any way. The compassion of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and their blessings are utterly unaffected by the circumstances of the times we live in. The Dharma is always effective, and it will always work. You simply have to do it. Dharma is a Sanskrit word that means to act as if to hold the world together. I mean, it would be great if people acted as if to hold the world together. What we get these days is a lot of acting as if to rip the world apart. We get a lot of who cares. And I think that underneath this, and quite often bubbling and brewing right to the surface, is a profound despair. And the despair is about the chaotic times we live in, and all of this adharmic action. I mean, we just expect the President of the United States to open his mouth and spew endless lies. Not lies designed to get the country into wars that profit corporations, not lies that we expect to profit him. No, lies for the sake of assaulting the mere concept of truth. That's adharmic. That's acting as if to rip the world apart. And this is going on all kinds of ways. And when you get in one of these cycles of history, that's called decadence. It's a breakdown. Decadence is a collapse of the integrity of existence. Existence is largely a phenomenon of consciousness. And so where we stand with consciousness is vitally important to our experience of reality. I'm sure you've thought about this one or two times. The two zones that I think have been impacted the hardest are Capricorn and Aries. And as you may know from my style of reading and presenting, that every sign influences every other sign, because every person has a chart that has all 12 signs and all 12 houses, and the action of a particular sign always influences us. It's just that when we use Sagittarius as a reference point, we get one version of events, and when we use Aquarius as a reference point, we get another version of events, and so on all the way around the wheel. And where I think the ripping has been at its hardest is your ability to fit your priorities into those of the world. This is about Capricorn. The good news is that you are very rapidly reshaping your priorities, and the world is in sufficient chaos that you will find a meeting place if you keep looking. If you are courageous enough to keep the experiment going and of adapting and adjusting your priorities to find out what's important, this is not a foregone conclusion. What is important to you is not a foregone conclusion. It is under radical reevaluation right now. There is some major turning point that you are in your life that is under radical reevaluation, and you are doing that. There's no way you cannot be doing it. It's either being done to you or for you, or you're doing it, or you need to do it, or you want to do it, but it's happening, and it's going to happen, and it's going to keep happening. That your priorities are changing and shifting. And one of the ways that your priorities are changing and shifting is that the material given to you by your parents is basically detonating. Parents, grandparents, family, step-parents, early caregivers, wives and husbands of parents, all those people that constitute a kind of a power structure that you grew up under. And whatever the nature of that power structure was, whatever it imposed on you, whatever values it imposed on you, are getting blown fucking sky high by what's going on now. And that is a good thing. You are as if Harry Potter growing up in a family of muggles, and they're lovely people, and they gave you things, and they taught you how to use a fork and wipe your ass, but they are muggles, and you are a cosmic visitor. Sagittarius is, in fact, a sign associated with the core of the galaxy and the core of the galactic, massive supercluster organism we live in called Laniakea, both central cosmic features of our cosmos are located in your sign. So when Jim Morrison, I went looking for this before I started it. I don't have it on this computer. It's a piece called Astrology Rant, and it's on an album. It's either on Absolutely Live or The Doors Live in Boston. And Morrison says, "Hey, how many people are into astrology?" And then a bunch of girls in the audience cheer. And he says, "Yeah, I'm a Sagittarius. We're supposed to be the most philosophical sign. But personally, I think astrology..." And they cheer. And then he says, "But personally, I think astrology's a whole bunch of bullshit." And then people don't cheer. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. And it's so funny because, well, gee, Jim Morrison is the, like, archetypal Sagittarius. He's the living incarnation of what it means for Sagittarius to be from someplace far, far away. And we see this over and over again with people born under the spell of the influence of Sagittarius. That galactic center and that great attractor are this visitor from afar, in the world but not of the world, and able to therefore see the world in a whole different way. But one of the challenges is getting caught in the dramas of the world and being in the world enough that you're affected by it, but your consciousness, your awareness, is from another place entirely. And so with all of this Pluto and Saturn basically chopping their way through your second house of your priorities, your values, your assets, your talents, your resources, the tools of your trade, your available cash, all of those things in one, contained in one house, Capricorn, for you, and ultimately your assessment of yourself, which is either inaccurately placed or lower than it should be. You either need to raise your elevate your assessment of yourself, or make a more accurate assessment of yourself, because the whole region of your astrology where this assessment is made is being challenged, revolutionized, subjected to the unstoppable force of Pluto and the immovable object of Saturn joining forces. So there's some massive reassessment that's either underway or is necessary as a matter of your growth, your survival, your thriving, your being happy on this planet, which has this curious feeling of not exactly being your home, but you're here. It's kind of like you're on a long camping trip and you like it here and you feel like it belong in the woods, and this is a very nice mountain, and this is a wonderful canyon and a beautiful lake and a fantastic ocean, but you're kind of a guest. And this is not necessarily a literal thing, but it is the orientation, the psychic orientation of Sagittarius. And as you experiment with this idea, you may find a deep calling into what it is that summons you. Because the thing with the nature of the things in Sagittarius that represent the calling, that is to say these two deep space points, they are difficult to tune into. They are elusive. They evade being grasped easily. They evade being explained. They are a very subtle frequency. They are in many ways invisible. You have to use special instruments to spot them. And it is only recently that we understood that this thing called the Great Attractor is actually the focal point of a massive supercluster of 100,000 galaxies, all of which leads right to the middle of Sagittarius. Now, one thing that is particularly interesting and exciting about this time in your life, there's a lot of things, but this is one of them, is that right now Jupiter is in Sagittarius. It's been in Sagittarius much of the year. It will, and possibly all the year. I think it went in late 18. And additionally, will remain in your sign till around November. But the beauty of Jupiter is that it is amplifying these subtle frequencies. So Jupiter right now is sitting about, as of today, Jupiter is sitting, as of this moment, a little more than a degree and a half away from the galactic center. So Jupiter is a sprawling, wide creature, and it is condensing. It is like think of it as kind of like the very large array of telescopes picking up on the frequency from the Great Attractor. This subtle presence of who you are, this thing that can be easily masked over by worldly values, right? By conventional worldly values, can be easily blocked, obscured, obfuscated in a similar way that religion gets in the way of religious experience, borrowing a line from Carl Gustav Jung, that you now can tune directly into a certain level of experience of yourself that is normally elusive. So there's two main actions going on, a few others, but the big clock, the ones that hardly ever happen or will never happen again, are this action in Capricorn that is cracking the surface of and letting you get beneath the worldly values that were imposed on you as a child. And a lot of this has to do with your family and these muggles and the priorities and values of the world that just ain't your trip. And the beauty of that is that between Saturn and Pluto and the Saturn-Pluto conjunction and the South Node going through there, kind of sweeping it all clean, you have a way to get underneath everyone else's imposed priorities on you to get to your own priorities. The second thing that's going on is that this advanced idea of who you are, and that is to say an embodiment of the sublime energy of the galactic center and the great attractor, two points, one's in mid and one's in late Sag, are being amplified by Jupiter now. And so you are getting an opportunity to tune into something about yourself that is not normally available. It's not normally there. And it's there, but it's not easily tuned into. And so you're getting an amplified, concentrated version of this sublime calling that you feel, this calling that is a kind of a beacon home. And we can look at this metaphorically, and we can pretend for a second that this is this massive creature called Laniakea, which ends at the Great Attractor, or this massive creature of the spiral galaxy we live in. Like, what are these things? What are they? Well, even if we don't take literally that they are spiritual homing signals of a certain kind, we have a very compelling metaphor for some type of inner awakening, inner calling, inner reach that is trying to make contact with your awareness and to think of yourself as being different from what you were told that you were. And this difference grants you a much wider spectrum of possibilities, a much wider spectrum of capabilities, and a direct access to, let's say, trying to not use words like the voice of God. So I'm trying to dance around the point using a little more New Agey, but look, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the voice of creation speaking through you is a much greater capacity than, oh, you're an interesting philosophical person. You've got something, and though we all have access to it, you are oriented with this thing kind of to your back coming through you. And what I'm suggesting you do right now is you turn around and face these possibilities and embrace the greater capacity for experience and for ideas and for possibilities and for potential, and to understand the abilities and powers that you have in a new way. And there's a lot collaborating to help you do this. Now, speaking of enhanced potential, we are seeing this demonstrated rather magnificently in the Virgo alignment that is going on in your chart right now. And if you have access to the Virgo reading, I suggest you read, you listen to the Virgo reading and take it all on the level of your professional activities, your professional aspirations, your reputation, and your talents. And Virgo for you is the 10th solar house. It's the 10th place from Sagittarius. So whether it's sun, moon, or rising, we're talking about Virgo as the 10th place. So it's, think of it like a tarot spread. And what comes up in the 10th is matters related to reputation and the higher level of work, not so much the mundane day-to-day work, not so much the, you know, like taking out the garbage and paying the bills, but rather the great things that you know that you are capable of. And you have Sagittarius, Virgo here. And this is one of the most humorous contradictions going on in the, let's say, the typical reading of Sagittarius as not being concerned with the details. You read this in the old astrology books, mainly from like the 70s or so, and it's like, yeah, Sagittarius wants to just gloss over the details. Well, not anybody who's succeeding. You can be pretty sure that anyone who's succeeding and who makes it, right, and, you know, poor Jim didn't quite make it. He, you know, got to a certain point, couldn't even get through his Saturn return. But who, anyone who persists is going to pay attention to the details. That's because that is an element of Virgo, and Virgo and Sag are in a sense opposites in that respect, where Virgo is certainly concerned with the getting it all right and making sure that the plan holds together. And Sagittarius is very much about the big picture, particularly, I mean, nobody even knew the Great Attractor existed when most astrology textbooks were written, and the Galactic Center was basically completely ignored by astrology until Chiron came along, and people started asking about the Galactic Center because it's rising in the chart of the discovery of Chiron. So this is another branch of deep Sagittarius theory, but in any event, people were picking up on the broad, big vision of Sagittarius, not realizing that the way that you do that is you take care of business, you take care of the details, you involve yourself and you invest yourself in the specifics, and don't leave it to other people, and you maintain awareness. Business will go better when you're personally watching the account books, the money in, the money out, the details, where it's spent, the budget, the breakdown, the pie charts, and then the line-by-line details, and your big vision for yourself, and in particular for your work, will go better when you make sure that you take care of whatever details need to be taken care of until there is someone who can do it better than you can. That has to be the qualification for delegating any form of responsibility, because we know that successful people delegate responsibility, but there's something else that's left out of that statement, which is that successful people delegate responsibility to those more gifted than they are in that area, and you can never lose sight of it. Now, what you've got going on in Virgo right now, in this place of aspiration and calling and achievement and success, and what you are known for, is currently I'm looking at a grouping of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 points, which are trans-Pluto, which is not well understood by astrology, Juno, the asteroid of relationships, Mars, drive, desire, ambition, the sun, your glory, currently conjunct the vertex. This is the immediate chart right now for the time that I'm reading, which adds an element of the right thing happening, and also an element of turn reality slightly and see it differently. Like not a 180 or 90 degree turn, but a 5 degree turn. a 10-degree turn. Look at the point where things intersect and you will get your answer there. Conjunct Mercury, conjunct Venus. Well, this is visibility. This is high energy. It is genuinely, I know this word is like used on commercials for like Wix with hipsters making the website for their artisan cupcake business, aspirational. To what do you aspire? Well, there's a lot there. And one of the interesting things that is to me indicated by having, first of all, Virgo on the 10th and all of these ingredients. I mean, you have every ingredient you could want either in Virgo or readily accessible right now, is that each one of your seemingly separate aspirations must support the others. So I don't think that violin players should spend their weekends chopping down trees. I think you've got to take care of your fingers. So if you're going to do something else, make sure, and you're a violinist, you're a guitar player, whatever it might be, painter, make sure that that whatever you do takes care of your fingers, and better still, make sure that whatever you do supports you. So I have a friend who was like the world's best bike messenger and all fantastic guitar player. And one day he figured out that, like, well, you know, Jesus, I'm making $20 an hour as the world's best bike messenger. I really should be making $40 an hour teaching guitar, and at least I'll have guitar in my hand all those times. And so he made that important decision to make sure that his thing that was supposedly either built just for finances or as a sideline supported the original work, and that there's a concentration of, consolidation of, and an integration of your abilities. And that when you want to get that synergy going, right? Synergy is the concept of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, right? All the parts in the world don't make a car that will get you to California. You've got to put them together and get them working together. Plus, the car might only cost $25,000 and the parts might cost $75,000 or $100,000 to buy all the parts separately, right? Imagine if you had to do that. It's like, no, I'll take the fender and the bumper and the headlight and the other headlight. Get the parts all working together, and you are likely to be getting information now about how to do this. Now, as all these planets, one by one, are moving and jumping and making contact with, first of all, Jupiter. As I speak, the Sun is square Jupiter. It's moved into position. It's at 1501 Virgo, and Jupiter is at 1538 Sagittarius. And so in this moment, when I'm telling you this, there is a Sun-Jupiter square. And this is, the square is always about getting things working together. Even if you have to do that part, then you go back to that part, and then you go back to the original part, and then you eventually resolve and integrate the square. This is, by the way, the secret to the square. People talk down about squares and they think that their chart is getting rained on and all this stuff. No, the thing with the square is you work one part, then you work the other part, right? You work the Jupiter angle. Now you work the Sun angle, because the fact that I'm saying this now means this is the position of the planets. Then you work the Jupiter angle again, which is you face the spiritual source. You take your inspiration. And by the way, what you do must be inspired, because you can't just do the Virgo side to have your career. You can't do the thing that's like fits. You know, you go to vocational and technical school and you learn how to be a bookkeeper and all of that, and you're doing all the right things, you're not going to be happy. The source of who you are must be the source of your actions. And so you can take anything you want that inspires you, that is given to you in the form of cosmic information or original instructions or however else you think of it, and then run that through the computer of the 10th house in Virgo rather than trying to do it the other way around. Like you fill in all the things correctly and you take the Myers-Briggs test and all this stuff. Nah, that's not, you know, the Myers-Briggs test might tell you that you're supposed to be a mathematician when what you really want to do is you want to make massive murals on the sides of bridges. I didn't even know if the Myers-Briggs test could ever tell anyone that they want to do that. What would the Myers-Briggs test do with Da Vinci or Galileo? All right. So here is this, I would say, really profound calling of Sagittarius, which is you are here to integrate this sublime level of cosmic inspiration symbolized by Sagittarius being a primary thing you identify with Jupiter and or now and the sun or rising or both aligned with things like the Great Attractor and the Galactic Center. That's the cosmic inspiration, the great vast cosmic muse, and then you apply it. And this is hard. It's not so often done. I know a lot of artists who wish they didn't have to do business. They just wish they didn't have to do business. They don't like it. It doesn't in any way get them going. And many feel that to do so diminishes their abilities. I mean, I have chosen in my current configuration of Planet Waves, the desk I'm sitting at, which is my primary business desk, I'm looking at the accounting table, and the accountant works under my nose. And you need a little bit of this attitude. The business details are very, very important. And I say this knowing how challenging this is. I have many Sagittarian friends, and I know the line they walk and what they struggle with in terms of feeling this rarefied space of pure inspiration and being able to dive into the artwork, the music, the beauty, the social role, but not wanting feeling diminished by taking care of the details. Well, these are the two things that you need to integrate. And this is, I would say, the perfect melding or union of the cosmic, all that Sagittarius, and the worldly, all of that Virgo. Somewhere in the promotional literature for this reading, I promised that I would offer one secret to sexuality for each of the signs. One thing the chart is saying that, to me anyway, you might not hear from somewhere else, a perspective. And it happens that your chart is saying quite a few things simultaneously. It is easy, first of all, for sexuality to get lost in your life. The reason I say this is, and by the way, it's just as easy to have it be found, but let's check in on the lost part, is that the sign before yours, called the 12th house or place, no matter what system we're using, whole signs, quadrant houses, solar chart, whatever it might be, is Scorpio. And Scorpio is a deep root of primal, hormonal, genetic sexuality. And it is in your chart in the 12th. And what that is implying is that it is often held behind a scrim. It is behind the veil. The 12th works as a veil. It is a reality off to the side. Now, you probably believe that this can exist, that there are parallel dimensions, and it can be as if your entire eroticism, including certain elements of reproduction, but mainly your pleasure-centered, hormonally driven sexuality can kind of dematerialize at times. It can be it can go missing. Anything in the 12th can go missing. So it's the secret home of all those Bic lighters, socks, guitar picks, and all those things, that mechanical pencils, and all those things that, you want nail clippers. How it is that you bought 100 of them and you can't find one of them? Well, this is the phenomenon of the 12th house. And people can go missing, and very important things can go missing. And it turns out that you have Scorpio there. And so you want to be mindful of your eroticism going missing. Now, while it is busy doing that and needs to be taken note of, there's something really exciting happening. There's a region of the chart called the fifth place, fifth house, fifth whole sign house, fifth solar house, fifth. That is five signs away from Sagittarius, and that is Aries. The fifth is a zone of experimentation about what feels good. When you have Aries on the fifth, your zone of experimentation of what feels good becomes integrally related to your quest for self-actualization. The quest for self-actualization, by the way, transcends the question of, am I in this world, but not of it? Am I here to live out the mundane life? Can I handle the mundane life? Can I be this cosmic being and also stay grounded on Earth? In fact, it would seem that the quest for self-actualization is the crux of all of those issues. It is the funnel through which they all must eventually pass. And what you have now is one of the most relevant significators of Sagittarius. You might say the new improved Sagittarius after the discovery of the galactic center in 1930 and the discovery of the Great Attractor in around 1984, and astronomers figuring out what the fuck the Great Attractor is in, I think, 2014. This is like yesterday. The new improved Sagittarius is got Chiron as one of its main, if not its main, let's say, ambassador, mentor, exemplar, teacher. Chiron's role is to be that. And in Chiron, first of all, we have the example of someone who was impeccably ethical, who sought to harm no one. We have the mythical figure who was taught medicine by Apollo, who raised him, because he's adopted, and who then taught medicine to Asclepius, the god of medicine. This is crazy. Who knew? You think the god of medicine? Well, who taught medicine to the god of medicine? This is accounted for in the myth, and therefore in the psychic mind map of astrology. Chiron taught Asclepius medicine, and then Asclepius taught the world. But Chiron had to learn how to do this, how to master surgery. Can you imagine? It's fucking like 2000 BC or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10, whatever, 1000 BC. And we've got this mythical creature, half man, half horse, and like he's going to master the art of surgery because the sun god is teaching it to him. Well, this tells us a little bit about you. And what you do with these high order teachings is they must be made into a handcraft of some kind. So getting back to the fifth, The fifth is this experimental field of creation, of pleasure, of play. It includes a lot about sex. Sex has to pass through the fifth house. By the way, it has to pass through the second house, which is masturbation. It has to pass through the second house. This may be challenging because you've got Capricorn there. And when masturbation has been crimped or guilted or shamed out of existence, this pushes people into codependent arrangements. So remember, with Pluto and Saturn going through your second, you've got a little bit of reclaiming. By the way, if you listen to the Virgo reading, you'll hear my rant about Pan and Pan teaching the human race to masturbate and Pan being the devil, right? Because if you look at the Crowley card, I should really put this card in somewhere on the resources page. If you look at the Crowley devil card, it's Pan. Well, who the hell is the devil? Who is the church demonizing? Church is demonizing pantheistic religion. I think it's a different Pan. Pan as in many, and pantheistic as in many, and Pan as just in this marvelous figure, this like kind of like goat-like being. Well, this is the devil of Christian defamatory theology. Okay, so while we're busy kind of Saturn Pluto-ing away all of that potential self-defeating embarrassment, guilt, shame, fear-based emotions, there's a door opening in the fifth. And the door opening in the fifth is a door first, like write this in lipstick on your forehead, a door to self-actualization. So all things connected to the fifth are in your style of how you self-actualize. And the properties that tell you what, how and where and when you concentrate the maximum learning and self-discovery, self-actualization, the becoming of who you are, include that they are directly experiential. Fifth, Chiron. They involve taking a risk of some kind. Fifth house, Aries, is certainly prone to taking a chance here. That they be fun, that there be an element of, not only an element of pleasure, but that pleasure be a primary focal point of orientation. So it's like this self-exploration for the sake of experimenting in pleasure and having fun, and you're going to do what is not necessarily supposed to be done, and you're going to take that risk and see what happens. Well, it's not art if you're not doing that. And it's not really sex if you're not doing that. If it's just going through the motions and you know, you don't like the person or whatever it might be, that's not sex. It's not what I mean when I say sex. I mean, you are on the cusp of self-creation for the duration of the experience and long after, and that you are providing to someone else that you care about, whether you care about them for an hour or you care about them for 50 years, you're providing for them a vehicle of their self-discovery and their self-actualization. So this is a door opening for you, and it is a door to direct experience, and it is encouraging you to be bolder about your direct experience and to be bolder about your sexuality. Now, the fifth does not inherently invoke the 12th, because the 12th is where the really deep stuff of eroticism is, and many other dimensions of spirituality, which meaning connection to the universe. And the sign that comes before any sign is one of the things that tips the hand and tells you what that sign is about. Usually, many of the best properties that we think of a particular sign are being drawn from, like water pumped out of and minerals extracted from, the experience of the previous sign. And so there's a clue here about the extent to which Sagittarius is inherently, by its very existence, sexual. Now, big surprise, every one of us people was fucked into existence. And in the rare thing of artificial insemination or whatever it might be, planting a fetus or something, it's still sex cells that are doing it. It's still a sperm and an egg. And to me, that is sex enough. But that accounts for like one person in a thousand of the whole culture. Basically, everyone you know is fucked into existence. And like, that's just how it is. And the position, that's just how it is kind of the in-your-face saggy thing. So what you're really doing when you seek to understand existence and seek to understand your sexuality and seek to understand yourself is you're in territory that is either directly or indirectly sexual, because all creation is either directly or indirectly sexual, because everything is created as a result of sex. Einstein and Patti Smith and the Beatles and everybody. One last thought. And this is cautionary. In relationships, for the foreseeable future, possibly forever, but for the foreseeable future, for now, and looking ahead years, be cautious of people who present you their desperation. And I'm not really talking about the guy in the street who needs $5. I mean and you can afford to share the $5. I mean people who present themselves to you as partners. And in that transaction, you are somehow responsible for their survival on any level. I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying that there should be a full stop and a long pause. And the survival could be financial, it could be emotional, it could be psychological, it could be on any number of levels, all of which basically come down to the same thing, which is someone presenting themselves to you as needing you so that they can live, be themselves, whatever it might be. Please be cautious of this, because it is based on a delusion. It's not true. To use common parlance, it's a toxic lie. And you are susceptible to this because you have a vulnerability to human emotion. It's more than just being able to participate in human emotion. Part of your in but not of the world is an understanding of and an empathy with the world that many others might lack, because they're so busy being in the world and of the world that they don't notice some of these basic things, whereas you have a different breakdown. You have a different assessment. And you can see certain colors that other people can't see, and you can feel certain things that other people can't feel, and you can therefore have your vulnerability exploited by anyone who seeks to do it, until you don't let it happen, until you stop. I'm talking about, by the way, Asbolus square Neptune. This is a complex aspect, but I've been working with this a while, and I did either 1 or 2 years ago a major write-up about this in the annual edition. There's great reading if you click back through the annual editions, and we can help you find them if you're interested. And I think I do some of my best annual edition writing in Sagittarius, because to me, in a way, Sagittarius just contains the key to something much larger, and it contains an essential element of what we all need to understand our reality, our origins, our sense of belonging and our sense of not belonging, and this seemingly very tenuous relationship between creation and creator, which is corporatized into things like megachurches, because everyone has questions about their existence, and it's easy to you know, siphon this fear off, this anxiety off, because a lot about coming to terms with death involved in any form of sincere, authentic, actual spiritual exploration, because that's so closely related to the nature of existence and the nature of healing. And I have observed from, you know, now I can say 2.5 decades of doing this, that there's something in the study of, in the contemplation of Sagittarius that holds a key. And when you can hold the key yourself and not be fully aware of that. And so I'm suggesting that you take up the key. That, by the way, was the name of the first newsletter about Chiron, because the glyph of Chiron looks like a key. And it's in your fifth house. So there's a lot of daring, fun art, creation, you know, jet skiing and sex that are available to you. And you are free to take advantage of any form of active, exciting self-discovery. You're here. Be here. All right. That's what I have to say to you tonight, ending at 6:54. Check your rising sign, please, if you have access to it. I do recommend that, and unless you're Sag rising. My readings are very focused on house placements. That's the organizing syntax of astrology, is the house placements, and they tell us quite a bit. Just by themselves are a beautiful mandala. All right, in any event, I'll catch you somewhere else around the dial, and bye for now.